wonderful creation of teaching the younger generations how to honor and, really respect ancestors, anyone, loved ones that have been, coming before us, family members. It could even be friends, loved ones, how that goes. But I wanted to know really about you, your inspiration, and how, pretty much, how did you know that that the world needed this right now?
I would like to attribute that to my connection to my ancestors, and it definitely was just divinely guided. It didn't start off as a book. It was actually like an honorary poem as an offering to my ancestors, and it just transitioned into something more than that. The ancestor Rebecca that I speak of in the book is an actual name of my great 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 grandmother. As well as my sister and my daughter. And at the time when I named my daughter after my sister, I didn't even know I was naming her
Oh,
after
wow.
that ancestor. So later on, so after my father transitioned. So it started off as an offering, and I was just guided to do more with it, to turn it into a children's book. And it kind of sat on the back burner for a little bit because I was waiting for my daughter to actually illustrate it. But yeah, she wasn't as motivated as I was. And so after a while, I actually entered a period of time at the beginning of this year that was very still for me. And it just resurfaced back into like, how about you work on this? And I went ahead and started creating the illustrations for it and just, really, it was time to birth it. Just put it that way. It was time to birth it. And I'm also glad that I did give it that time to kind of develop because it became something even more. So it started off as a poem, then it turned into a book. And as I was coming up with the images of the book, it started to come as more like, info facts on top of it. As I started compiling the book to the publisher, it turned into a little journal in the back. Like it just started becoming bigger. And it was like I was being guided with more ideas, like add this to it. Like, so that's how this book came about. And in the beginning, I was kind of just sitting with it, like, wow, I just really wrote a children's book. But I keep being reminded of, writing books as a child. From my school, we had something called the Young Authors, and I used to participate in that. And so it's comical to me a little bit how things come in full circle, and how like it's nothing you ever didn't know how to do, but something that you pick up again, whether it was from this lifetime or previous.
So when you say previous, you do, like, you are very much in touch with your, like, past life.
So, yeah, we definitely believe in reincarnation in our practice. And so you don't lose anything. Everything that is a part of your ancestors is a part of you. It's encoded in your DNA. So even, if like today you don't remember, it's still circulating through your blood for when that knowledge is activated or reactivated. When it's time anyway for you to use that source.
So I guess you might be saying that you might have been an author in your past life in some kind of way, or maybe a teacher of some sort.
Well, that's
So
kind of my current life as well. But
what do you do
I was
for a living?
speaking on how when I was a child I was doing some of the things that I'm doing now and how I would feel like, wow, I never could imagine myself doing this. But then when I actually spend time with myself reflecting, it's like, actually, I've been doing this. Like I came out doing this. So yeah.
So what do you do for a living?
So I do holistic wellness planning and consulting. I divine, I do cleanses, I offer spiritual works for people. And then I have a 9-to-5 as well, where I'm working with school-aged children in an after-school program setting, we're getting into the summer, so I'll be running a summer program. I also do community work. I have my own nonprofit called Native Sons, and it's a host of us residents from the community that give our time and resource towards the children there to pretty much get them tapped into who they are, who they come from, so that they're more confident when facing challenges that that are everyday things when they're living in low income communities. So it's a way of just combating gang violence and drug abuse by instilling them with more enriching things, activities. So we do a lot of engaging activities, dance programs, studio programs, sports training, things like that. We got clothes closets for people who might need them. We do holiday drives. But yeah, working with the kids.
So yeah, I guess that makes sense to how that you would carry that energy with you, right? You're always around younger people. You're surrounded by that innocence, you're surrounded by that light, that curiosity, right? That creativity, really that, unfiltered happiness, right? Unfiltered confidence, right? Where do you see yourself, now that you've written this for, the younger generation? Now, the younger generation is going to be obviously set up for success now, right? This is believing, the beginning of something else. Do you believe that you might come out with more books or like a series possibly?
It mo most definitely won't be a series, but I've already started, like the creativity wheels have been turning where I'm like, okay, I can write a book about this now. All in the same realm of, Hoodoo heritage, or even other, ATR practices. But yes, a lot of stuff has gotten lost culturally. And then we're entering a period of time where like people are also seeking a lot as well. But our children are our future, and it's like if we can bring it back into the homes, or have these conversations and experiences with the children, they'll take it with them moving forward. Because this is like there's been a few generations I feel that kind of like lost it a little bit. And I won't say everybody, because of course, we have people who stayed true to it, and it's been culturally passed down to their families as well, but not a lot of us, and those are in, various parts of the country and the world. But day to day, some people don't even recognize their own ability and power, because it just looks like everyday stuff to them. They don't even realize, like, oh, this is what I've been doing this whole time. And it takes them to actually get into the practice of doing things intentionally and mindfully for them to realize, like, I've been doing this, I've been had the power. This is making sense now. And once like you really got your head in the right space to move in a certain way and be able to alchemize things and create opportunities for yourself, or even ward off certain things, it's kind of like the cheat code to life. Like, it's not saying everything is going to become smooth sailing and easy, but you walk with a different confidence and knowing like you undefeated. Even if you cry a little bit about it, you really ultimately have control over like your destiny, as long as you allow yourself to get in position. And I mean like really believing and having confidence in yourself and your ancestors, and our way of doing things that has worked since the beginning of the time, and not being afraid of it. Because a big part that I do see from that's common, especially like I've just had a shop for 3 years that was in the community, and a lot of people who were interested in old cultural ways of doing things, they also had a fear that kind of kept them from really moving forward with it until they would have a conversation with someone like me and realize like, oh, so it's not all that spooky stuff on TV, like
Right.
And so that was something that I really enjoyed doing, and I really enjoyed to have the space to do is, I had door open. It was definitely a shop for services and products, but it was very door open to anybody in the community to come in, talk, meditate, learn, read, ask questions. rest their feet, drink some tea, eat a piece of fruit. Like I would have people come in that were like panhandling and wanting to sell me things, and I'd like, you need to eat a piece of fruit first, or you need to drink this tea first. Like, and I got you. And it came to the point like they would just come in for that. Like, I need my tea. I need my tea. And that made me feel good. Like, if this is the most healthiest cup I can give you for the day, and you're looking forward to it now. Like, that makes me feel great. Or having elders come in the community and they have their joints are in pain, or they think they have to get surgery for something, and they're actually listening to you and taking your advice and guidance, and it's working for them. Herbs are working for them. Oils and salves are working for them, and them really like, dang, I was listening too much to everything outside of me before, and I'm glad to see that. I'm glad you're here. Like, and so that experience definitely let me know I'm in the right direction, and it lets me know like everything circles back to our communities. Like, we can only be as great as the community we come from. And our communities can only be as great as us. Like, they really reflect our own wellness on a like a micro macro level.
Well, yeah, our communities definitely require us to do some inner work for sure, right? Better than judging other people when we, got to do the work on ourselves, and like then you realize who am I, right? This is like I'm hearing all of this. Like I feel like you have opened up like a Pandora's box of what, No, I mean I'm serious. That's why I pursue certain things. To me, it's like. It's a Pandora's box of what needs to be said in this day and age about specific communities who need to return to their spiritual roots, right? And like I said before to you, that this creation is very brave of you, right? It's a brave step because when people think about spirituality, like you were saying, that they assume that it's all this spooky, demonic, evil, angry, dark stuff, and you're putting the like, the what is it? The meat and potatoes of it, and you're spoon feeding it to the youngest audience possible, which is our children. And then people start to see that this is just basic spirituality. It's not scary. It's not harmful. It's not dark and it's not demonic. And like it being brave is just like, a lot of people I could assume, well, I know would have a lot of negative things to say about if you were to say it, like, oh yeah, I'm going to teach my 1-year-old about spirituality, and their heart just drops, right? And it's just like, oh no, please don't do that. And you're just like, no, I'm going to do it. I know what I'm doing. This is what this book says to me, and especially these poems in here that I read that I can see as clearly from the heart, right? Like these are completely like very personal, meaningful things to say, and obviously you can embellish on them. And I love the workbook in the back where you can like do your own. Like I love that where you can draw your own because after you're done reading it, you're inspired. You're just kind of like, oh, I want to write a poem just as beautiful as that. And then you realize it's not scary incantations. It's poems. It's just, expressing love because that's pretty much what we're doing anyway. It really like takes that really bad stigma and kind of like just throws it into the shredder, saying like, no, this is what spirituality is, that my 1-year-old has embraced the most basic part of spirituality, and I didn't see a single spooky, scary, evil thing in this book, right? It's like you're turning heads like multiple times here, metaphorically, and socially in regards to this, because like could you imagine, like I know Juneteenth is coming up, right? And also I was saying that there are so few works of art like this, so few. I must have run into maybe about three, right? And I sell one of them on my website. It's called A for Apothecary, and it's the ABCs of spiritual things, right? Going through the whole alphabet. But I mean, that's not a lot. That's one book. You know what I mean? And when it comes to the artwork, there's a what I call a lackluster of representation. If you know what I mean. So I would consider this to be like, more of the Afro side of it, and the other book that I have is more of the European side of it. right? Because it needs to be shown and represented both ways, in my opinion. And this kind of pretty much, nails it to the wall. And I know you might not think it's not much, but I'm gonna tell you right now, like if I had this for my kids when they were babies, like the awareness that you are waking up in people, right? The awareness is so very powerful. And not only that, this is gonna start a whole, like, what is it? Like, what do you call that? Like a hunger for wanting to find the truth and never stop looking for the truth. It's like a gateway to the truth. When everyone else is reading Dr. Seuss and they're reading this, they're just like, yeah, Dr. Seuss is cool and everything, but this seems to be more
Right.
real. It's something that I can relate to. This person looks like me and expressing themselves the way I express myself. And there's some type of power here that this book is saying that I have. Rather than looking up to a superhero, I read this and I feel like I'm the superhero, or I feel as though I have a league of superheroes that are working for me. Like you nailed it, right? So I really hope you're proud of yourself. I don't know if anyone's
Thank
ever
you.
told you, okay? It's beautiful illustration for sure, right? It's very easy to read, it's very welcoming. Right. And everyone, like everyone, right, regardless of the representation, everyone can really get behind this if you have children. Okay. Like I see this, being a part of, even like, what do you call that? Like daycare, early childhood,
Yeah.
development, because they do now, they do open up, they get a little bit, they get a little bit more liberal year after year. Right,
You're
but I
right.
feel like, yeah, I know it takes a little. It's we need to, we still got a long way to go, right? But I feel like this is such a really good like way to like ninja your way in there, right? Like, I feel it's kind of like it's like the person that belonged in there got in there under the radar somehow, right? Because if
I
you
mean, it's
even say
definitely a religion if we want to, take it that way. It's nothing that's like inappropriate at all.
like,
So it would be under, considered under any other cultural or religious literature. It, just to a younger generation, I guess. I also really. I'm really excited about the representation for the households who are familiar with the practices, and they do involve their children in their practices and caretaking of their altars and things of that nature, so that when they pick up the books, they're like, wow, this is what I do. And it reinforces, their connection that they're already having, because like you said, like there's not many texts like this. And so you can only imagine a lot of the times when us ourselves are on this journey, we're questioning ourselves, like, am I crazy? Like, am I tripping? And so it's a positive reinforcement and representation of your culture, your family, your traditions, and things of that nature. So it can instill a sense of pride and inspiration for other children to be more. Well, I can't speak for other children because my children are pretty out there with all of their stuff. So, as most children are, though, even if they don't have supportive villages yet to help them foster and nurture what, what they're knowing or possessing and things of that aspect.
Just want to let you know that what you're doing is amazing and it's contagious. And I want you to keep spreading that. Oh, like that's good contagious to me.
I
Right.
appreciate it.
So to me, whenever I find something that's good contagious, I kind of rub my nose all in it, right? Let everyone know that I'm infected, right? Because like you told me earlier that you had eight children. Like, where did you find the
It comes
time? Tell me
with,
more.
I guess, it comes with the territory. And I guess that makes everything easy when you're a lot, when you're around a lot of childlike behaviors and energies where they're constantly creating and doing things. Even the setting I'm in now, like where I work, there's ample time for me to color, do art, things of that nature. I'm actually working on a whole separate book during my downtime while the kids are actually at school, when, between, you know, the after school hours. But we make time, whether we're getting up early. I will get up early. But again, this time came where things got really still for me. It was like I was being pushed out of one job and into another. And I went through, like, I want to say about 3 months where on the outside, everything seemed stagnant. Like in the beginning, I was freaking out, like, oh my God, what is going on? I need to be doing something. I have so many people relying on me. I have to be, like, I was very much in a state of fear and shock. And then I kind of, well, I started fasting. I ain't gonna say I just light bulb went off. I recognized some of my emotions and behaviors behind circumstances. And I took, you know, took control over that by fasting so that I can be provided with more clarity and grounding. And that's when I was given that clarity. Like, you actually need to rest. You've been doing a lot. And you haven't taken care of yourself in the midst of that because you've been so, like, basically riding on fumes. So we about to sit you down for a couple of months. It's not punishment. Everything is
Right.
gonna still be taken care of. Let us do some things in the background. You just nourish yourself because this is just a season and it's gonna pick back up and we're gonna need you to be present and whole and, like, really focused and ready. And so I was like, okay. And so I did a lot of sleeping in once the kids to go off to school. I did have two at the time who were homeschooled, who stayed home with me, and we would sleep in, like, the rest, everybody else is out the house by 8. We're waking back up at 11. Like, we're going back to sleep until 11. And, you know, a lot of people think that, like, when you're inactive, you're really inactive, and that's not for real. Like, when you're calm and you're at rest, you're doing a lot of behind the scenes things, whether it's planning, writing, creating illustrations, taking salt baths, cleansing yourself, allowing yourself to do deep fasts where you can't be going everywhere and doing everything. You barely can, you know, because you're fasting. So I was able to be able to be in the bed and be like, I don't have the energy right now, and I'm drinking sea moss water and I'm trying to take my herbs and stuff, but everything else I can't do. But I was granted that time to be able to do that, you know. So I embraced it and I enjoyed it, and now I'm back, like, you know, doing what I got to do and showing up, but I have the capacity to do so. It's like I was spiritually stretched, if that makes sense. So that's why I found the time for that.
I don't
Appreciate
know, but
it.
I heard another book. What is it? Are you willing to share, like, a spoiler or just
Oh,
a
this book
little bit,
is,
little
yeah, this
tidbit?
book is not a children's book, but depending on the child, it could be for a child. But it's more so reconnecting our communities to our herbs, to our practitioners, to our resources. And so this book was inspired last year from the community I live in, is Englewood in Chicago. It's on the south side. And we have a lot of vacant lots and just areas that, since it's outside of Chicago, the city is not on top of the landscaping as much as they are in, like, other neighborhoods. And they do it, you know, while they do it, but it's for me, it's a pro because, like, as I'm walking through, especially in this season and, like, going into the summer, it's a lot of wildlife, you know, it's a lot of wild plant life. And for me, I'm recognizing things like, oh, that's, this is this herb we can use. And so for me, I'm like, they consider this area to be so low income and poor and this and that, but it feels really wealthy. It feels really rich. Like, these lands are really rich. Look what is growing in abundance. It's red clover everywhere. Like, there's plantain leaf everywhere. You know what you can use? There's all these roots. There's burdock root everywhere. So this is me, but this is not the typical resident. You know what I'm saying? The resident is like, ah, the weeds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ah, this plant, it looks like a jungle over here. They're complaining about all the dandelions and the hawk's beards that's growing, but they don't know what it's for. So I started taking pictures of everything during my walks. I would go on walks and any plant, I was taking a picture. Some of it I didn't recognize either, but I was learning as I was going. So I would take pictures and I was compiling all these different herbs that grow in the hood, basically. And so it's a big chunk of that where we're identifying these herbs, these plants, these roots. I'm showing what it looks like growing up a gate or in the crack of a sidewalk or in the alley or in your yard, and then putting what their medicinal, identifying them with their name, the medicinal uses, the spiritual uses of them, the element of it, whether it's our earth or air or, things of that nature, what season it grows in, and then also giving like foraging education, how to pray to the land, how to use the elements to cleanse yourself, things of that nature, just things like that. And then my favorite part, though, will be towards the back of the book is the community resource part. And so, like, there's a chapter that's, all the community resources and, Black-owned businesses. And then we have like the botanicas and cultural spaces. And then a list of like practitioners too. So people, not only are they able to figure out how to do some things themselves, but they don't even, some people don't even know like we exist and that we're here and that we have classes or services or products or even a conversation that can really lead you back to yourself for you to go through your cycle of self-discovery and or rediscovery and start your journey. So I'm in training now to be certified as a full spectrum doula, although I already do like postpartum doula, bereavement doula, death doula stuff, fertility work as well. But I'm going through the certified training to get like the actual, paper thing. And but I considered myself a spiritual doula because like most of the people that come to me are those that are like, I'm ready to begin. I don't know where to start though, or I'm having a hard time processing what's happening to me in my life and I'm afraid. But I think that I have a gift. Things like that, where of course we've got a million people who are like, where everybody's the guru. Or, or people who are offering a host of services for you to, I can do this for you and do that. But me, it's more so like, what can you do? And let's foster that. Because, like, we all got it. What are you trying to do? Where are you at with it? Where are you at? And where are you trying to go? Here's the tools. I reached out to someone to be a resource in this book today. And I'm like, I want to use you as a resource. You can let me know what your specialties are as far as like products or services and your contact information, how somebody can book you or, reach you or whatever. And she's like, oh my God, this is confirmation because I've literally been meaning to get back to my spiritual work as a medium, but I've been afraid. So I said, how are you afraid of yourself? Like, and she's like, well, I haven't been, basically like they haven't been keeping up with their spiritual maintenance. And like I've only got the Colonia 1800 waters, and I've only got this. And I'm like, so you think your ancestors was waiting for a restock? Like as long as you have breath, that's all you need. Like, yeah. And so she's like, thank you. It just she needed that though. And I don't know, something just I met her at a foraging event a couple weeks ago, and as I'm like thinking of resources that I can like, who can I put? Who else can I put? And then like I don't know, I just got hey. How about you? And she's like, I needed this because I've been really just sleeping on myself right now. And, whatever's going on in the world is happening and it's going to continue to happen. And we can only continue to, really tap into ourselves and moving forward, how to, I really feel like we're returning to practices that we left behind. And that in the midst of us trying to keep up with things that may process faster or allow us more time to not do much, it's kind of like we degressed in a sense. And so to see people are coming back to gardening and farming and oils and salves and things of that nature really speaks growth to me, and not like, oh, we doing some old school stuff. Like, yeah, it's old school because we started to lose our way, but I feel like everybody's ancestral DNA has gone through an activation, and nobody's doing anything off just impulse anymore, but more so like a sense of being pulled in a direction or inner knowing. And I made a post, I want to say last year, that really spoke on to like what hoodoo is on a everyday household thing for African Americans here in like America, things that we do culturally everywhere, like whether it's eating black-eyed peas and greens on New Year's Eve and certain things. And I'm like, if you do that, that's hoodoo. And I had to break certain things down. Like if you do this, it's hoodoo. If you do that, it's, and it was like so much stuff that people was like, I do that. Like, why do we all do this? Why do, like, no matter if we're in Alabama or in Milwaukee or Arizona or like Rhode Island, like it's just certain things that we do. So we not gonna open an umbrella in the house. Like, and I had to really go through this list while I was making so many different comments. Like, I'll find the post and tag you in it, because it actually went viral. But it was to really take that stigma of where they demonize our practices. Like, stop thinking it's this spookism. Like, yeah, conjure can get dirty, and it was because it came out of, it's a protective magic. It came out of when we were in slavery. So that's where it was birthed. So yeah, it can get a little dirty in the sense of protection. It's very protective, but it's also empowering and making sure we had our resources and that we have what we need on a day-to-day basis. And so it's like, when we doing this, that's hoodoo. And I had to keep reminding them, like, some stuff you guys, oh, you're going to hell, or they demonize it, or don't do this. It's like, you do it. When you pour that drink out, talking about it's for your homies, that's a libation. That's hoodoo.
Right.
Like, when you be like, grandma, I know you watching over me, you talking to your ancestors, that's hoodoo. Like, and I had to really.
Yeah, like the lady in the South that always sweeps her porch and realizes she has no friends or she has no visitors because she's sweeping away, like, she's sweeping
Oh,
away,
it's
visitors,
certain
and she's
things,
always
like,
alone.
it's just, you're right. Things like that, you're dreaming about numbers and then you want to play the lottery. Or like, we laying hands and healing in church. Same thing. A lot of our practices were also hidden in the church. So I was like, Baptist, definitely hoodoo. Like, Koji,
The
definitely hoodoo. Like,
drums.
so
There you go.
it was so funny how it was really like, people was like, dang, I never really thought that. It like really activated some things within them. And it's like, stop running from something that you are, because it's just, you didn't grow up in a black home and not experience hoodoo in some form of fashion, whether they called it that or they just did it. You better not sweep their feet. Like,
Oh, yeah,
they have to have a fit.
that was the one. That's an old one.
So
Yes, because everyone in the hood is afraid to go to jail, that's for sure.
it's just certain things. And so it was just like a reminder, like, hey, yes, we can dress it up. Yes, we didn't made it into like something we can package real nice and sell. We got a lot of people who are marketing and like successful off of the practice who aren't even a part of it. Like, that's just like Walmart selling Juneteenth shirts. But it, which was another important reason for me to add these resources in the book. And of course, like, these resources are really going to be helpful for like people who live in Chicago. But they offer it online. If any of this stuff is online, it's accessible. But it can also be an inspiration to other areas to start including the same in their works. Because like, just like our nonprofit Native Sons, our motto is literally like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's an African proverb. And I really stand behind that, because like, yeah, I could have wrote a book by myself and it's like it can reach so many people, but how many more people can it reach? And when it does reach them, where do they go now? I can't give them everything. I don't have everything to give. And you know, the same way we're speaking, somebody may have something else for them that they can attribute through their conversation too. And I'm not for everybody, you know. That's one thing I learned, you know,
I mean,
whether
yeah,
I'm
none of
servicing
us
you online or in person, like I'm not for everybody. We're not gonna click. You might not even like how I talk. But
are.
that,
Right.
you know, and that's one of the things I tell my clients when I give them readings, like you're not for everybody, and just because you're not everybody's cup of tea don't mean your herbs don't heal. So like it is what it is.
Yes, I also like you were saying before, with just knowing and feeling that you're not alone. I think that is the root of the power of just ancestor work in general, just the root of just knowing that you're not alone.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. And
Okay.
my son is standing right here, but he got some eczema or something on his arm. I'm like, dang, his arm looks messed up.
No, it's okay. I can pause it if you know if you need to.
No, we're good.
Huh?
I said, we're good.
The you know not
Oh,
feeling
okay.
alone part, I think, you know, really hit when I started understanding ancestor work. I didn't understand ancestor work until like my mid-20s, right? Because everything was like falling apart, and I couldn't figure out why. You have, you know, when you have those dreams, you know, your intuition, you're just like, those thoughts didn't come from me, but that was like a genius thought. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, where did I get that from? But I feel as though, you know, when you are hitting such a young market, you know, you are really speaking to, you know, the kid that might feel other, you know, feel alone. They might feel that they are just, you know, different in some way, you know, and it really illustrates that, you know, that's okay. And at the same time, you might be considered other or considered alone, but you're not actually alone. Like, it really gives that protective feeling where it's kind of like, you know how it is, you know, nobody on the playground wants to play with me.
Correct.
Okay. You're like, there's something wrong with me. And then I'm going to go the rest of my life like this, just the whole time. Like, you weren't
Or
even born
start
alone.
conforming into somebody you're not.
Right. Okay, you weren't even born alone. Everyone that came before you was already waiting for you when you got here. You know, it's kind of like, and they wait decades sometimes for us to communicate with them. And like, all the more, you know, successful and you know, powerful you can be once you start communicating with them early. Because, you know, in the age of, you know, people making fun of kids who had imaginary friends, just to find out that it's scientifically proven that you can actually have an imaginary friend that is real, and the kid is not crazy. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like, they're not crazy. They're
And that's
seeing their
the
grandpa.
thing though, like they very much know about all of this stuff, and they're only like scientifically proving it to
Now.
people who already knew what it was. And it's like they even go as far as to like that's what the whole, you know, test that they run, or not the word test, evaluations, like the questions they're even asking a lot of times relate to the abilities people have. And it's like they know that it works, but it's like if everybody's out here being a champion in the spiritual realm and physical, and they're in alignment, they can't really be controlled, you know, and it's the masses have to
Oh.
be controlled. And so it's like in order for you to be controlled, you got to be disconnected in a sense from, you know, who you are and who you come from. And so this book and my work is very revolutionary. So
It is. It really is. Okay. Because even if you forget all about me, right, and you blow up and go viral again. Just, you know, remember we had this conversation, and that I did, in fact, you know, I did see this work for the magnificent creation for what it is. Okay. I know, like I said, I've said it a million times in different ways. But like I said, you've done something very brave. Okay. And you really, you know, just chucked all those stigmas literally into the grinder. You know, you've gotten to the youngest age possible. okay, and said, hey, guess what? This stuff is not as dark as they're telling you. They're going to tell you this later on, but remember this particular book where it says it's not. Okay, so you're gonna realize that it's not, and you were right the entire time, regardless of all this rhetoric and all these stigmas. Okay, and the representation is also there too, where if you're being represented in a negative light because of culture or skin color or whatever, this kind of reverses that, right? It to me it reverses that. And I would love to like gather and have like a whole collection of these things and just chase down all these authors. But like I said, you are among the few who have done this. And I've had the pleasure of speaking to you and meeting with you. I think you are a very brilliant person. Okay, I think you're
I
brilliant.
appreciate it.
I think you really are not only a free thinker, but you're a forward thinker, right? And it's not anything that we haven't been told before, but like the forward thinking kind of just almost gives us no choice, but like we're gonna run into it at some point, right? It's like you are the brick wall that everybody's gonna hit at some point that they keep trying to avoid, right? Right? Because I'll tell you right now, I can see this being like, and like not from like a CEO point of view. Like I'm not gonna like market you, but like it could be like, Hoodoo for Dummies or something like that, type kind of thing. It's kind of like, oh, you're deconstructing from religion? Don't worry, I got a book for that. And it's kind of like, oh, there's no possible way. And then there is a way. And then your books are flying off the shelves because it's kind of like, oh, she's talking about me in this chapter, but she's talking about you in this chapter. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I feel like I say, it's the brick wall that we're all going to hit at some point where it's like, why am I feeling like I'm alone, but I'm not alone? Who am I? Who is around me? Where do I belong? Where is my path? Why is my path not the same as this person? Why is this supposed little goal I'm trying to reach not reaching? Is it even my destiny to begin with? Is it even part of anything? Am I repeating cycles of the people that came before me and they're trying to shake me and say, please don't make that mistake. We've all done that. Can we now like fix the damn thing? You know what I mean? I could imagine like all of our ancestors now just kind of like, hey, there's a book out there's podcasts, there's websites, there's all these resources now that are free and available, just like everything else. And then what's the excuse at this point? You know what I mean? Right? It's like what's the excuse at this point? Either you are gonna just waste your regular, what is it, your average 87 years on this planet, right? To come back here and do it again, or you can just literally stop, like you were telling me about your fasting. Stop and listen, right? Because I feel as though what you said about that fasting, it's almost like you spiritually, you hit the brick wall too. And it's like it's manifesting, like whoever's hands this book falls in is like they're hitting the same brick wall you hit almost, right? And I might sound like I'm being dramatic, but you have literally freed a lot of parents out there who want to deconstruct from, religion, right? They want to deconstruct from religion and they're too afraid to, because in my opinion, right, because I'm African American, the African American does, community has a big, Christianity has a chokehold on us. It does. It just does. And, at least in American society, it does, right? I mean, if I go to Nigeria, I'm pretty sure I'm way behind, right? But here, it's got us in a chokehold where it's kind of like we don't know who we are, we're not looking for who we are, and it's about time we did, right? And if we are running out of time, we got to at least teach the next group of runners that are coming behind us, right? Because the group of runners that came before us can't run anymore, right? And it's like each generation needs to get a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser, and just, a lot more productive toward this, end goal of just living in abundance or breaking every chain that was put on us. You know what I mean? And it's like it's just I feel like this is our time to just finally just start breaking those chains. And I feel like this is one of the big ones, right? It's like handing a red pill to a baby, right? It's just like, like you are special, okay? Like you don't have to listen to people. You
Don't
have a
forget
whole magic. You have a whole magic. Take this pill. Okay, like it's not dangerous, it's not harmful. This is what life is. Welcome to life. This is what life is. Okay, and I really hope I was able to describe it, accurately. But
Yeah. I
sometimes I need
definitely
the song.
appreciate all your words of affirmation and, celebrating my journey and this book, and taking time to acknowledge, the sacredness of it, and the need, because it definitely gives me, the confirmation that I was doing the right thing by being obedient. And, following through with what I was thinking, because we get downloads all the time. Our, guides are always talking to us, but it's like, do we follow through? Do we listen? Do we have enough, confidence in ourselves to not feel like, well, what if? We get hung up on the what ifs a lot. So I do appreciate this a lot.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you just in general, just for doing this. Thank you for being here. Do you have any questions for me? Any comments? I was thinking about maybe featuring you on my website, if you didn't mind. If you were looking to maybe expand your audience of other, customers and clients, because like I said, like you were
With a
saying,
lot of
we don't all have the
herbs.
answers.
I used to go to like the grocery stores or the Mexican markets, and they sell
Yes.
like the little
Oh,
packs of
yes.
herbs. And I would just grab random ones because they're really cheap. They're like 89 cents, some of them. So I would just grab a bunch of them. And then once I got home, I would like Google Translate, because a lot of times they'd be in Spanish. I Google
Yeah.
what the herb was and what the use was. And I'd start there, like with small batches and or even like what my favorite ones are, my go-to. So I wouldn't hesitate on, beginning to take time with learning a new herb a week or a day, or you get there. I'm learning about something new every day.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to say, to my younger audience in particular? Like I said, young adults is usually who listen.
Yes, to the younger listeners, I know how important we go out and we look for elders, and as we should acknowledge them and listen to all they have to give. But don't let that keep you from beginning your journey. A lot of the time, these people will show up. You'll be connected to your tribe when you're doing the work. Don't wait and be like, oh, until I bump into this person who's going to give it all to me, because it usually doesn't happen that way. So, just know that, you have what it takes, and you're on the right track. If you're listening to this, you're on the right track. And to continue forward, and you're going to get that confirmation and recognition everywhere. Like, look for those messages in various forms and not just from one avenue or one lane. And just give what you got. Do your best. It's a lot of people that they're wanting to be the next big thing and big influencer. And it's like, don't worry about that. Everybody has their own thing and to offer. So just, big up yourself and stay in your lane. Do your best as long as you're doing your best. Like, as long as you're doing your best, you're winning. As long as you're finding, ways to improve yourself and get better and better, you're winning. And to my
Thank you for that.
business people out there, because I'm a businesswoman as well. One of
Mm-hmm.
my keys to success is identifying what success means to me. And when we do things of that nature and we're not like going off of what society says success is, and you can determine what success means for you, you realize how successful you already are. And it allows yourself to track your growth and progress and acquire more success.
Yes, totally 100% agree, for sure. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your words. Thank you for sharing your experiences and all your knowledge. Like, oh my God, like I know there's so much more. I know there's so much more. Like, I just want to go in there and just like the whole library of what you know. I know it's so much. But thank you for being here. So Again, I'm Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast. So get the book, My Ancestors, a children's book reflecting on the practice of honoring one's ancestors. It's in Hoodoo Heritage. So, lovies, I will see you in the next episode, and I'm glad.